How many want to go to heaven? Say amen. Amen. I really don't know anybody wants to go to hell. I have had people tell me before, you know, I'm going to go to hell and party with my friends, stuff like that. They don't really mean that. I've never had anybody tell me that when they were dying or when they were at death's door or when they contracted some deadly disease. But I am glad that I've talked to plenty of saints of God who told me, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm just ready. They get to the place where their bodies wore out, and they say, I really want to go to heaven. Amen. So I want you to open your Bibles this morning. I've asked Brother Ricky to come and sing for me in just a few moments, but I want to read a text first. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. We're talking about fellowship. And quite honestly, I've never preached on fellowship in this line that we're doing. It's been helpful to me all through this year. God's kind of pointed our attention toward things, and it's helped me to grow some in the Lord. And I hope it has you. Now, we're talking about fellowship. Last Sunday, we read a passage. I'll read it again in a moment. And he talked about if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, you can fellowship with him and walk through dark times. But if you personally are walking in darkness of bitterness or jealousy or unforgiveness or secret sin, you can't really fellowship with him. You can be his child. You can have that relationship with him, but you can't have fellowship with him. Now, as I began to study this week, God's really helped me. I hope he'll help you. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read just one verse, verse 42. This is not short, not right after Pentecost, during Pentecost. And it says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in fellowship. Thank the Lord for that. They had fellowship together. Now turn over to the book of 1 John. This is where I read last Sunday. And I want to read in 1 John once again. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. In 1 John chapter 3, excuse me, chapter 1 in verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Will you bow with me for just a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost, our Father, fill me. God, remove far from me anything that would hinder your work. I pray, God, your blessing on your people today. God, you've sent us here. You've called us here to worship you, but also, our Father, to be edified, to grow. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts through the Word of God and help us to grow. I pray, Father, for those who don't know Christ, that our Father, that they would hear a simple gospel and be born again by the grace of God. I pray, God, that you'd help us now. Oh, God, I pray you'd forgive us for not fellowshipping with you, for not spending time with you. I pray now the Holy Spirit would help me and, God, speak to your people, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you this morning from this passage of Scripture a few thoughts about who are we supposed to be fellowshipping with. I am in the next few days and this month, I found 40 persons in the Bible that it says you're not to have fellowship with. Not to have fellowship with them. But there's a group of four that you're supposed to have fellowship with. And I've shared them right here with you. Number one, we're to have fellowship with the Father. Number two, we're to have fellowship with the Son. Number three, we're to have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And number four, we're to have fellowship with the saints of God. I share that with you in just a few moments, and I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. Let me say to you, first thing we're going to talk about is fellowshipping with the Father. When God created Adam in the garden, can you imagine what that was like? God fashioned a perfect man and put him in that environment. It was a perfect environment. And then he fashioned woman. And they fellowshipped with God. No sin, no problems, no burdens. And they fellowshipped with God. What was it like? Can you remember when the prodigal got saved, when the Lord gave that parable? He said the father was looking for him, anticipating his return. And while he was yet a great way off, the father ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, bring that best robe and put on him, kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. This my son was lost and now he's found, he's dead, he's alive. Let us be merry and rejoice. What a time they had fellowshipping when he got saved. Do you remember when you got saved and you fellowshiped with God? I mean, all your sin was gone. What a wonderful time. But during the week, it dawned on me that I had spent a lot of time being busy and a whole lot of time praying, but not much time fellowshipping with God the Father. Brother Ricky is going to come. I want him to sing just a couple of verses of a song. Sing all three of them if you want to, Ricky. When I saw it, it went to three of them. I want you to listen to this song. It's an old song, and I've been singing it, but I won't ever sing it probably anymore after I hear Ricky sing it. But I sound pretty good when I'm by myself in the car. But you know, it's the message of the song. And it is this, that we can fellowship with Him. I want you to listen to this old song Brother Rick is going to sing.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. Joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with Him, though world of night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and a joy we tarry there, none other has ever
How long has it been since you just fellowshiped with him? How long since you've walked with him and talked with him? You didn't ask him for anything. He was just real to you. I'm talking about God the Father. How many times have you called his name this week and asked him for something? How many times have you called his name and told him about your problem? But how many times have you just fellowshiped with him? He said, these things have I written that you might, your joy might be full, and it's tied to that fellowship. I was reading, thinking about the passage of Scripture where Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Are we to serve him? Yes. And if you're his, if you're in fellowship with him, you will obey him. But how long has it been since you just really fellowship with him? And we're blessed by that. Spent some time with him. I want to think about for a few minutes. I tried to look up, do a little research on the word fellowship. Somebody said years ago, fellowship means it's two fellows in the same ship. But it means more than that. Fellowship. Let me kind of just break it down for you. This is out of the Webster 1824 dictionary. And I think it's a good, it's biblical based as well. In first place, this type of fellowship that we're talking about in the Bible is a companion word to companionship. Companionship. And that means that you have spent frequent time together. You spend a good bit of time together. They are frequent associates and they converse. They talk. Now, you don't have to be a friend to have a companion. You could have a traveling companion, or you could have this, that, and the other. Or if you're going out, companion, do another thing. But in this context, it is that of a friendly companion. It is people who have much in common. It is people who have the same interest. It is those who meet together on friendly and equal terms. It is a state of being together. It is a matter of familiarity, knowing each other real well, and being able to share the innermost recesses of their heart. It is being able to be in one's presence comfortably. Are you comfortable getting in his presence? Is there something that you want to slip around and not get around, not face to face with him? The Bible said that he spoke to Moses face to face. He was a friend of Abraham, and Abraham was his friend. Enoch walked with him, and he was not, for the Lord took him. All of those wonderful truths about the Old Testament. It is those who have a lot of, have common interest. You and I, when we fellowship with the Lord, he'll companion with him. And you know, the thing about this fellowship, we didn't initiate it. We were running the other way just as hard as we could. And he came and he sought the sheep that were lost until he found it. He saved us and he gave us everlasting life. And he said, as the Lord Jesus Christ came, he said he was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. He wanted to be with us, wanted to spend time with us. Now, I've been 50 years preaching this year. Next year, celebrate 50 years pastoring. And twice in these 50 years, I've gone through some times, what you'd call basically burnout. And I've done a little research over the years. I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, more of his material has been published than any other human who ever lived, more than Shakespeare. Charles Spurgeon, that Prince of Preachers in Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, and when God was ready to bless him there, he preached over 5,000 people every Sunday. But yet, they said historically he was given melancholy. That means that he goes through times of depression and just battles. You say, well, Brother Ben, why in the world does a preacher get like that? Because he fights through hell by the acre. And you think it's hard for you to get in this building physically on Sunday morning, Sunday night? Well, for the preacher, for the man of God, it's double hard because not only the physical, but the spiritual warfare goes on. I mean, you just have to fight every service. The devils are fighting, the demons are fighting, trying to, but you know what? What happened in those two times that I really went through that time, I got where I didn't want to hear the phone ring. I didn't want to be around nobody because it had seemed like for months and months, every time somebody spoke to me, they wanted something. They needed something. Or they'd call on the phone. Every time they called, they were needing something. And it was just pulling them and draining me. And as I studied this message, I got to thinking about, Lord, that's exactly what I've done to you over all these years. And so many times I've spent all my time asking him for things, complaining to him about needs and things, and very little time just fellowshipping with him. I love that song Ricky sang. It hadn't run through my mind in a long time until this week. And by the way, I sound just as good as Ricky in the car. I was listening to him. No, he did a fantastic job, didn't he? Awesome. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way, it says, about the risen Savior. And it says in this passage, in this song that he just sang, that about that sweet fellowship in the garden. And I stay. How long has it been since you just fellowship with him? Get out in the backyard, go off somewhere, riding in your car, and didn't need to ask him nothing, but you were fellowshipping with the Father. I know we talk sometime to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank him for dying for us, but how much time have you spent fellowshipping with the Father? I want to show you something. Look at a verse in the Bible, if you will, back in the Old Testament, and in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, if you want to just write it down, I'll read it for you. Isaiah 57, I'm going to read verse number 15. He said this, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One," that's God the Father, "that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy." He's holy. He inhabits eternity. He lives in the third heaven. That's God the Father. "For God so loved the world," God the Father so loved the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus taught us to pray. And he said, you pray like this, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And it's this God. Now listen to what he said. "This holy God, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." He's high and he's holy, but that God the Father comes to revive our heart when we are humble, when our hearts are broken, he comes. And my dear friend, listen, we are to fellowship with him. Just walk with him, talk with him, and fellowship with the Father and visit with him, spend time with him, and let him know, like Abraham did, like David did in the sweet singer of Israel, that he's how much you love him and how much you thank him. I have in the last few days tried not to ask him really for anything except just to kneel a few minutes ago and ask him to bless in just a few minutes down at Brother Wayne's in his little office and ask him to use me. But I have spent these last few days saying, "Father, I want to thank you. I want to just praise you and forgive me for not spending time with you. Just enjoy his presence." Now, Regina and I have been married going on 53 years, I believe it is, 54, 53 years. And we spend a lot of time together. But you know, a lot of times we can be together and don't really say anything. but it's just being in her presence. When I counsel young couples, I talk to them about being together and being best friends and spending time together. And I tell them that I've always enjoyed preaching. I've always enjoyed fishing. I like to go fishing, hunting, all those things. I said, but I like to spend time with my wife. We don't have to be going anywhere. We don't have to be doing anything, just to be together. And sometimes those are the best times when you're not interested in all those other things. You just spend time together. How long has it been since you just spent time with the Father and thanked Him? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Every mouthful of food you've ever eaten has come to you from the Father. The Bible said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But it's God the Father who provides that through God the Son. Everything He's ever given you, from the shoes and socks you got on, or the ladies got on other things, but anyhow, but anything you've, whatever you got on today, God gave you. The meal you ate this morning for breakfast, God the Father gave you that. He said, your Heavenly Father feeds the birds. You don't have to worry about a thing. Your Heavenly Father. And yet, how much time have you spent addressing Him and saying, Father, I want to thank you. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for your blessings on me. And not ask Him for anything, but just to spend time with the Father. You and I are the fellowship with God the Father and thank Him for what He's done for us and to worship Him and adore Him and to hear His voice. And what a sweet voice it is. He speaks to us. And if you want to get so close to it that you can feel His presence and just ride with Him in the car, walk with Him in the yard, down in the woods, over at the lake, or wherever you are, and just spend time with Him, with God the Father. Is it that real to you? Is it just that real to you that you can walk with Him and talk with Him along life's narrow way? Listen, you are to spend time with the Father, fellowshipping with Him. And you can't do that if you've got anything. How can two walk together except they agree? You want to be clean, and He'll do that for you. But spend time with Him. Get in His presence and then worship Him. But now let me go a little step further. Let me show you the verse. Oh, I didn't read it earlier. I want to read it now. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and then I want to read to you verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Thank God He's with you. He is the God of love and peace. If you want to have real peace, you know, people pay big money to go sit down and talk to somebody, Dr. Phil or whoever, and they think they're going to get some release. They think they're going to have some peace, some closure on certain things. But He said, if you'll spend some time with the Father, just fellowshipping with Him, He is the God of love and the God of peace. If you'll spend time with the Father, He'll bless you in those ways. But listen, I remember Brother G.P. Benson saying over on the front porch, he said, if He doesn't ever do anything for us, anything else, He's still a good God. I mean, we're way behind in our praise anyhow, aren't we? And thanking Him. Listen, fellowship with the Father. Have you even thought about Him this week? Have you spent any time when you happen to be away from any of your family, you're right by yourself, were you keenly aware that He's with you? He said, I'm the high and lofty God. I dwell in the holy place. But He said, I'm also with them that are humble and of a contrite heart. He's with you. He came to be with you. God the Father's always with you. He's the God of love and peace. But now turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to read to you verse number 10. Here's the Apostle Paul's testimony. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back and read the passage just prior to that, he's talking about what Christ had done for him, how God saved him, gave him everlasting life. And he said, I want to know Him. I want to spend time with Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and being conformable unto His death. Spend time with Jesus. Just fellowship with Jesus. I want to know Him. Do you know Him? Oh, you say, well, I know him. He's born of a virgin and this, that, and that. No, but listen, Paul wrote 13 books of this Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. He said, I want to know him. That has to do with that idea of being thoroughly familiar with him. Get to the place where you're comfortable in his presence, that you can be his friend and friend, just like your best fishing buddy, just like your best going shopping ladies' friend, whoever. You could spend time with Jesus just like that. And you'd enjoy being in his presence, and more, he'd enjoy being in your presence. And you could spend time fellowship with him. Paul said, I want to know him. I want to fellowship with him. How long has it been since you just spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing and loving him and thanking him that he's never forgotten you, you've forgotten him. He's never failed you, you failed him. But he's always been there. He's always been there. And you, and my dear friend, how long has it been since you fellowshipped with the Lord Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you fellowshipped with the Father and addressed him? Say, Father, I love you. I thank God for you. I think that you're my God. I just love you. How long has it been since you were just had time of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done for you, forgiving you all of your sin and just loving him? And you understand that I do things. I stay busy. Tim stays busy. Brad stays busy. All of you trying so hard to do something for God. And that's a good thing. But I see it in families sometimes. I see daddies and mamas who work so hard to give their kids something. They want them to have the best clothes. They want them to have the best tennis shoes. They want them to have best this, that, and the other, everything. But the one thing they don't give them is time. They don't spend much time with them. They don't just do things with them, just simple things. Just spend time with them. And we do the Lord that way. We want to serve him. We want to please him. But sometimes we'll just want to fellowship with him. Fellowship with God the Father. Fellowship with God the Son. Look over in your Bible, please, in the book of Philippians. You're already there. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And he said, Paul is writing also in this same book, not only about God the Father and God the Son, but if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, capital S, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, and to be of one accord and one mind. Fellowship of the Spirit. How long has it been since you just fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I mean, you just spent some time with him, thanking him. You know, it was he who convicted you before when you didn't even care. You wasn't seeking God. You didn't care a thing about God, but it was the Holy Spirit of God that came to you and he convicted you. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Spirit of God draw him. Spirit of God initiated all that. You didn't. You didn't find him. He found you. He went looking for you and he convicted you and he drew you. He forgave you. And when you asked Jesus to come in your heart, it was the Holy Spirit of God that came in your heart crying, Abba, Father. It was he who made your spirit alive inside of you. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in your spirit. That's where he lives. And he's never, ever left you. Is he who has shown you any truth you've ever seen in the Bible. It was the Holy Spirit. It is he who's convicted you when you did wrong. It's he who, if we listen to, he warned us about things that some of us took that step anyway and we made a mess. It was the Holy Spirit of God. He's always the same. He's always with us. And thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Fellowship with the Spirit. How long has it been since you fellowship with the Father? How long has it been since you fellowship with the Son and with the Holy Spirit? Just spending time fellowshipping with them, getting to know him. What do you know about the Holy Spirit? What do you know about? He said, no man knows man except the Spirit sent him. Same way with God. He said in 1 Corinthians, the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Do you know the Spirit of God inside of you knows everything there is to know about God? Wow. I'll tell you something else. He knows everything about science. He knows everything about biology. He knows everything about everything. He's omnipotent. Holy Spirit can do anything. And he lives inside of every one of you. And we don't know hardly anything about him. He's like a neighbor next door that we don't even know their name of their children or their dog. Holy Spirit of God did all those things for us. He's been with us through all these years. And yet we've not ever spent much time fellowshipping with him, getting to know him. and being with Him. How much time do you spend just fellowship with God the Father? We always busy, running. But to spend time with Father, spend some time with the Son, spend some time with the Holy Ghost, and just fellowship with them. And then, certainly, in Acts chapter 2, it says that they continued steadfast in the apostle doctrine and in fellowship. They fellowshipped. I hear people say this all the time. People don't visit like they used to. Well, a lot of churches, you know, used not to have a Sunday night service. And what they did on Sunday afternoon, they just went out to people in the neighborhood or relatives or friends, and they spent time fellowshipping. When I went to Valdosta, Georgia, there was a family down there, Brother Harold Barnes and his family. When you come up to their house, big old oak trees, as big as you have down there in Georgia anyhow, but we came up there, and Brother Tim's been over there many a time, I know, but they had a huge screened-in porch, it's an old farmhouse. And when you walk on that porch, there was probably 10 or 12 rocking chairs and straight back chairs on that porch. Now, when you walk up in a situation like that, you know there's some fellowship that goes on there. Every time I went out there and eat with them, we'd eat, and when we get through eating, Brother Harold said, "Let's go to the porch." And folk would go out, we'd sit on the porch, and we would just fellowship and talk and laugh. I remember one time we was down there, Sonny Sroyer came. He was in us off of Dukes of Hazzard. He lived in Valdosta. And he came over there and eat with us. He was just like all of us. We sat around and talked, laughed, had a big time with him, sitting and rocking. How long has it been since you sat and rocked anywhere with anybody? God made us to fellowship one another. He put us together. Are we to serve the Lord? Are we to be busy? Yeah. But we must never lose that fellowship and closeness with God's people. This is the Lord's business, but it's not a business. We're here as family. And family spend time together. Family worships together. Family loves one another, care one for another. And they intertwine their life with one another. They love one another, spend time. Now, we've got a pretty good sized church. We can all get together on homecomings and other things. But as families, you ought to start trying to get together. I want to challenge you this month to invite somebody in the church that you don't know real well. Come over to your house and eat, or go somewhere and just sit down and talk. I don't know how many funerals I've been to that I didn't do myself. And individuals who have died, and people get up, and family talks about them some, and neighbors talk about them some. And I said, man, I wish I'd have known them better. And in this church right here, there's people in here, man, listen, they've got so many stories and so many experiences and so many blessings they could share with you. I'm just telling you, God intended for us to do that. God intended for us to spend some time together just enjoying one another's company, being blessing. I don't believe God saved us to be a hermit or a monk. He saved us to be with God's people, to fellowship. We're to love one another, forgive one another, pray one for another, bear one another's burdens. We're to prefer one another. All those others we're supposed to do. That's how the way we get it is by spending time together. Now, we have a wonderful opportunity. We can come together three times a week and spend time fellowshipping. I can tell you when I'm preaching somewhere, we have a pretty good revival. Right here, like Randy Perry. We stay here, Randy'd sing and preach and everything. It'd be 9:30. And there were some people who had to go to work. They'd slip out. But people just hang around. And people hang around. And in revival I was in last week, the people that act like they didn't want to leave. They just hang around after. They just fellowshipping. I knew God was working. God blessing. God's knit those people together. I'm just telling you, you understand what I'm saying? You're never alone. You're not by yourself. Holy Spirit of God lives with you. Jesus lives with you. God the Father lives with you. And God made you part of a wonderful family. You're not alone. One of our young ladies testified in the youth meeting and the youth service that Brother Tim, that the youth people had. And she's testifying that she felt all alone. Felt like she didn't have really any friends around school, anywhere else. And I know you go through those, the devil fights us in that area. But I want you to know one thing. God says this, that we are to be together as a family. And they fellowship together from house to house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus, but in daily then fellowship and breaking of bread, they spent time together. They encouraged one another. They were a blessing to one another. Now, why should we fellowship? Why should we fellowship? Who do we fellowship with? We ought to fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with the saints of God. Now, why should we fellowship? Or what's it all about? Number one, we want to know one another better. I want to know God the Father better, God the Son better. Paul said, I might know Him. I want to know the Holy Spirit of God better. To know one another better. To know better how to pray for one another. Just enjoy one another. There's things that, man, listen, I enjoy talking to people. So many interesting people and so many wonderful things you'd be blessed. My wife always wanted to get Brother Thurl Ennis and some of them before they went home to be with the Lord to sit down back in this fellowship hall and let them just talk and record all those old things that they went through. Those times are wonderful times. Let's don't lose those. We don't have any control of what goes on in Raleigh, Harley, or California, or Washington. But we can control what goes wrong right here in Johnson County and in this church. We can slow down if we want to and spend time rocking. We can spend time fellowship with God the Holy Ghost and God the Son and God the Father and spend time with one another. I believe God wants us to fellowship. Why? Because we get to know one another better. But also because it fulfills the need for friendship. Everybody needs a friend. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you and I need one another. We're not, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, the Bible said. And it fulfills that need of friendship if we have fellowship with God's people. He said, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. You ought to be so close to your church family that when they hurt, you hurt. And when they have joy, you have joy. And you can't do that by doing your own, paddling your own canoe and being like that. God called us to be a body, to be together, and it fulfills the need for friendship. But then also it does this, that it brings us into a relationship to where we have a confidant. In 1 John, he's talking about fellowship. And he said this, let me read it to you. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful to just forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. And the word is not in us. And then chapter 2, verse 1 of this says this, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know what he's saying? He said, you got a friend. His name is Jesus. He said, I don't want you to sin, but if you sin, you've got a friend. You have an advocate. That means somebody who will stand up for you. You've got a friend. His name is Jesus. And he's an advocate with the Father. Jesus. And he stands in the very presence of the Father on our behalf. I've told you before that when Brother Avery Rogers died, he'd been our close friend for 10 years. I loved him. Brother Avery's the type of man that I could talk to about anything. I could tell him everything I'd ask him any question. I'd tell him everything about my life. I knew he wasn't going to make it a sermon illustration somewhere. I knew he really cared about me. And when Ms. Rogers called in the middle of the night when we were living in Reidsville and said, Brother Billy, Avery is at home. And what she meant was he got killed in a car wreck. My wife and I wept and cried. We wept for just a short time. It was middle of the night. She called us in the night. We got up and I took the phone call and then we talked and cried together and prayed together and went and laid back down. I couldn't lay down. I got up and I said, God, I don't have anybody now that I can bear my heart to. I don't have anybody that I can tell everything to. And he reminded me, oh yeah, you do. You have an advocate with the Father. You can tell him anything. You can share every burden, every care. But I'm thankful that over these years that I've got friends here in this church, in this community, and in Christian circles around the world that God's put me with but friends, people I have confidence in to pray, people I have confidence in. And that's what it means. When you fellowship together, you develop friendships and relationships, people that you can confide in, people you can share your burdens with and know that they really care. They're not going to tell everybody in the neighborhood about it. They'll really pray. That's what it's all about. But then it develops, of course, unity when we fellowship together. A church that prays together stays together. A family that prays together stays together. But you might as well put fellowship in there. If a church is close and they know one another and they love one another, are we different personalities? Sure. We see things different? Yes. Do we disagree over certain things? Yes. But if you're friends, you can do it. You still keep on. It develops that unity. If we have close fellowship with the Father and with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, and with one another, we can have fellowship with Him. These things have written that your joy might be full. You won't ever have fullness of joy if you're not fellowship with the Father, fellowshipping with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and fellowship with God's people. You won't ever have the fullness of joy. You have some joy, a little bit here, a little bit there, but if you want to have a full life of joy, you need to be connected with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and with His people in a good church somewhere, in a church family somewhere. But then last thing I wrote down about this, fellowshipping right down here, spending time together, it prepares us for heaven. Brother Ricky led us in that song a while ago, when we all get to heaven. Well, I'm telling you, I've been in service when I thought I was about that close to heaven. I mean, listen, God's people rejoicing. They were praising God. People were tuned in. God was there. The Holy Ghost of God was there. Jesus was there. And God's people were in spirit of unity and power. It gets us ready for heaven. Hey, what do you think you're going to do in heaven? Oh, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to spend time with Him. But it's going to be a fellowship of God's people, the bride of Christ for all eternity. We'll be there without spot or without blemish. It gets us ready for heaven. How long has it been since you fellowshiped with the Lord? That old song we used to sing, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long has it been since you just talked with Him? I'm not talking about asking Him for nothing. I'm talking about just enjoying His fellowship, just spending time with Him and being aware that He's there and He's real. The Holy Spirit of God in your life is real. He's there. He knows everything there is to know about this Bible. And my dear friend, if you let Him read it with you, He'll show you something, bless you so good you can't hardly stand it. Let Him speak to your heart. He speaks, and the song says, He speaks, I hear His voice. Do you ever hear Him? You let Him speak to you? Have you ever just melted in His presence when you got the presence of a holy God and worship Him? And understand this. This idea of fellowship means that you have a closeness. You're close to Him. Oh, listen, thank God for that. You'll never, ever be alone. And you'll know He's always with you. And no matter what you go through, He's going to be with you all the way through. I've seen it in people. I've seen them battle terminal cancer. And I watched it on their face. Those that were fellowshipping with Him, they experienced real pain in their body. They experienced the sense of maybe being separated from their family. But there was a sense of fellowship with them and God. It was close. It was a fellowship that was real. And thank God for that. You can have that. That's what fellowship's all about. He said, these things have I written in you that your joy might be full. And He said, I want you to have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with God's people. You need that. I need that. I pray God to help us do it. Will you bow with me in prayer this morning? I know this hadn't been a rip-roaring, running up, down, and shouting sermon, but it's real in my heart today. When all the sound and the noise and the racket's gone, is He real to you? I'm telling you, is He real to you? Do you know His voice? Do you feel His presence? Do you sense His presence? Yet all of us pray when we need something. All of us go to Him when we've got a burden for our children or our friends. All of us do that. But how long has it been since you just fellowship with Him? Just adored Him and loved Him and thanked Him. Spent some time with Him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's don't get so busy we don't have time to fellowship with God's people. I do think you ought to be in church as often as you can. But you ought to spend some time in fellowship with God's people. I mean, listen, nothing like going off Christian men together, Christian ladies together, couples together that love God and fellowshiping. I mean, listen, that's what it's all about. Meeting in your homes and going places together with God's people. It's a wonderful experience. Fellowshipping in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says the church is supposed to be in our relationship with Him, one another. Heavenly Father, I want to say I love You this morning. God, I'm ashamed of the fact that so many times I've been so busy trying to do something for you, I've not fellowship with you. Not just told you how much I love you and how much it means to me for all you've done for me. I'm so thankful. Lord Jesus, I want to tell you, I love you. You didn't have to come to the cross and die for anybody, least of all for me. But as a good shepherd, you sought me through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you forgave me. You gave me everlasting life. Lord, I've never come to you, and when I failed you and disobeyed you or sinned, and you throw it in my face, you've always been ready to forgive me and purge me and cleanse me and love me. And God, I hadn't spent much time just fellowshipping with you. Dear Holy Ghost of God, oh, how you spoke to my heart and called me, saved me, indwelt me. For helped me read the Bible and showed me things. And give me an unction, an anointing to share it with others. And often I've prayed and asked you to show me something, but I hadn't thanked you enough that you're always there. You never ever leave me or forsake me. You've been so good to me. Lord, I'm so thankful for God's people. I'd have quit a long time ago if it hadn't been for God's people loving me, praying for me. God, I thank you for all these years, churches I've pastored and friends I've had, folk I've preached to in other places and revivals and, Lord, all around the world, how they've received me and loved me and prayed for me, blessed me, encouraged me. God, I'm glad that when I've been down, that's always been somebody around me that's encouraging me and praying for me. God, thank you for making me a part of your body. God, I pray you'd help us to spend more time fellowshipping with God's people, sharing in the blessings of God. Lord, we do want to serve you. We want to be used of God. But Lord, please don't let us get so busy that we don't fellowship with you, that we don't walk with you and talk with you. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, make it real to everybody in this building.